Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika. Ek moet vir jou sê, dis vroue maand en during Women's Month, we're chatting to remarkable women standing out in, well, I would say mainly male-dominated industries.
Yeah, so because we decided this year that we really want to focus especially on those women, because there are amazing women out there, but especially in the male-dominated industries, just for a little bit of a gut punch this year. And it's a sport year for women. It's literally the biggest year for sport in women's sport in South Africa specifically. So,
absolutely, with the Netball World Cup and so on. Let me tell you something, though. When I saw our next guest for the first time, I think most of us were like, wait, is that a woman? Yeah. That was the real reaction. Yeah, I was like, is that a woman that's got the whistle there on the sideline there? And then we were all so impressed with the way she handles the game. Woman referee, South African woman referee, Amy Barrett-Tron. It's such an honor to chat to you this morning, and we are so proud of you. Firstly, how are you this morning?
Have me on. I'm a little bit tired this morning. I'm just back from training. It's interesting you say that about women's referees. I just drove past one of the clubs I first started reffing at, and I was just saying to one of my ref colleagues that, that was the club where the security guard wouldn't let me in because he didn't believe that I was the referee. So things have definitely changed.
How
since
crazy
then,
is that?
And we're in a much better place now.
Let's go all the way back, Amy. I think let's go back to school days. Firstly, primary school and high school. Where did you attend school?
So I'm a Durban girl. So I went to Northlands Primary and Northlands Girls High. So very English, but I have since improved my Afrikaans and moved over to Cape Town. Always loved rugby. I was very confused when the teachers didn't let me play rugby in primary school.
That's crazy.
But got my little taste of touch rugby in high school, and onwards and upwards from there, really.
So was there a girls' team for you to play in with the at school? Is that how you started playing?
Only touch rugby, which was pretty good at that stage, obviously, to learn all the base skills, the passing, the stepping, identifying space, things like that. But I only started playing rugby my first year out of high school because there wasn't any rugby for girls in school at that stage. So I really just started learning how to tackle. It was like within a couple of months of that next year with my club in Durban.
That's crazy. And then eventually you went on to even play in a World Cup. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm very fortunate to have played in a couple. I think the rise was quite quick. I think I had a bit of an advantage having that touch rugby background, the passing skills, where everyone was quite brand new when they finished school, and I'd already had that foundation. So I was lucky enough to play in the 2009 Sevens World Cup and the 2010 Fifteens World Cup, and then two or three touch rugby World Cups in all of that.
Amy, I've got to ask you, obviously it's a massive honor to put the green and gold, pull that jersey over your head, play in a World Cup, the Sevens, you played Fifteens. I have to take you back. Obviously, you just mentioned as well that even with refereeing, times have changed a lot. But with your first World Cup, let's say take you back to the Sevens one, what was the situation, just in a nutshell, as a women's team with regards to support and just general logistics with regards to the bigger tournament?
Yeah, very fresh, very new, very, say the building blocks of it. Obviously, an amazing honor to wear the the green and gold, but definitely, I say, a different picture than what the men were used to. But having said that, like we made it up into the semifinals and we just narrowly lost to Australia. So the talent was there. I just think it was too new. It was as much as it was one of the fastest growing sports. We needed that foundation, to become professional, to kind of make it a big focus and a priority. And at that stage, I was studying at the same time, so it was quite difficult to balance all of it. Wow. So it's amazing to see how far we've come and that the women are now contracted, that they, we had a very tough pool in the World Cup, but I've obviously seen it firsthand, just the massive growth, even from the 2010 World Cup to the 2014, 2017 and 2021 was amazing. And I just think there's so many girls that are taking up playing rugby, and all just because of what we see and the structures coming into place. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to get round to it because you mentioned earlier that you had to study because you studied for a bio as well. And I mean, just to balance these two different fields, because it's basically a full-time job, being a referee and being a bio. But we're going to get to that a little bit later. Before we get to that, though, my question would be the transition from playing rugby then to refereeing. How did that happen and why did you make that choice?
Yeah, crossing over to the dark side. I forget that. I was probably one of those people just along my journey of sport in general. I played quite a lot of sports and I ended up reffing or umpiring a lot of the sports. And I enjoyed that challenge of it, like understanding the game from a law perspective and how can I use that to my advantage. And I had a couple of people along the way like, oh, have you thought about reffing? I think, yeah, there's a couple of refs that I ref with now that reffed me when I was playing. And
wow.
You know, it's just been such a journey where, yeah, I think once I finished playing, you know when you're done. And picking up the whistle was just the next step, the next challenge for me, the next way to stay involved with the game but give back to the game because, you know, playing rugby got me a bursary to Stellenbosch University. Mm. I was able to travel the world where, you know, I came from a small family in Durban and, kind of that wasn't really an opportunity to travel the world. So it was amazing to do all of that. And I think it was just, yeah, I love being challenged. And I think just the next step for me, pick up the whistle, get stuck in the game, you get the best seat in the house and
true.
Yeah, and stay a part of it.
That's the coolest thing. I've never heard someone talk about it like that. You got the best seat in the house,
exactly. All right, so we're going to go on. Ons gaan hierdie nog ons lekker verder met Amy Baratron gesels.
Groot breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika.
Okay, so dis vroue maand, Augustus maand en dis ons lekker om met merkwaardige vrouens te gesels. En een so 'n vrou wat ek geweldig baie respek vir het, is Amy Baratron wat nou by ons aansluit. En Amy, let me tell you something. It can't be an easy job, eh?
Yeah, it's probably, you know, I thought playing rugby was quite physical and quite a nice challenge and but when I picked up the whistle, reffing is a physical challenge because you have to be up with the ball all the
absolutely,
time.
Absolutely,
you don't get to. I used to play fullback, so I used to just hang at the back and catch my breath in it. So it was a bit of a change, and then obviously a mental challenge. You making over 800 decisions a game. I think that was the latest stats that papes through us the other day. It's just, you know, at a scrum, it's like 40 odd laws, you know, at every breakdown, you're looking at 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 things and they happen within less than 3 seconds. So, yeah. And then I think the last one was just quite an emotional challenge, obviously, because, you know, you're not deaf. You do hear what the players say. You hear what the spectators say.
Oh, wow.
You know what social media is going to say the next day. And it's a pretty tough world to be in. And I think from my side, when I started reffing, I just wanted to show the human side. Like I don't go out there to have any, you know, ego battles with the players. Like this is your turf. I fully respect you guys. And I'm just here to be a messenger of the law. And, kind of just be myself. And as soon as I started to do that, things got a lot easier. But yeah, every game for me is more pressure. There's always just you have to be at 150% as opposed to 100% just being a female. But things have definitely improved over time. And I love the challenge of that. Fine. Like I will prove you're wrong. Like I will prove that I'm ready, that I'm more than capable to not just keep up with the game, but to be ahead of the game and make accurate, relevant decisions.
I want to dive into that just briefly because I don't think, I mean, I saw the rule book and I think if anybody's listening right now, for all you really couch coaches, if you want to just
you
get
know
into
who you
it,
are.
Just go and watch and read up on that rule book. It is crazy. Like you said, there's 40 laws just on the scrum on its own. You have to make 800 decisions during a game at least. That's what the stat says. I mean, and we're sitting, we've got different camera angles. We've got all the luxury. You're on there happening in the field and there's a million things that you need to monitor and watch the whole time. And if you get one thing wrong, that's the thing that you're going to get hammered on, right? And that's, and I've got so much respect for referees and especially now being a woman. I mean, like you said, now you do hear all the spectators. You do. I mean, I attended so many school games and I mean, find I ours as rough with the refs were. Yeah. And I mean, there's so many things that you need to monitor. I don't know how you guys do it. Really, I don't.
Yeah, it's a crazy time. And I think after a game, it's 80 minutes and you've done 7, 8, 9 Ks in the game. I'm probably the most mentally tired because it's so quick, it's so fast. You make that live decision. Luckily, at the more senior level, we do have the TMO to help us and you've got assistant referees with radios and things like that. But, you know, sometimes you make a decision and you just say, oof. You know, maybe I could have made a better one, but you learn very quickly to back yourself and you learn very quickly just the clearest, simplest pictures are the most followable for everyone around you. So, you just keep on keeping on really. And I think, yeah, as much as you hear the parents on the side or the spectators on the side, I'm quite comfortable in myself that I'm,
wow.
I know that if I make a decision and I get someone shouting at me, like, I know that was the right decision. So, what you think of me is really none of my business. So, you do you and I'll do me, and that's how I go on.
Well done.
But that's the thing is, like, this, I think, is one of the most mentally tough positions to be in. And it really seems like you've got this zen about you. This is crazy. This is mind-blowing about how you actually are just so mentally strong facing that aspect. But on a practical note, you said, what, like 7, 8 Ks in a game, you move. Just what's your fitness? Like, how do you train? Because people think of rugby players as needing to be very fit. But I'm going to say this now. I think the ref needs to be fitter.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how does your day look with regards to that?
I'm following Amy on Strava, and I see she's a proper runner. Let me tell you, she's a proper runner.
Yeah, so I think the thing with reffing, you have to be fit, and I like that you say even fitter than some of the players. I think because the thing is, we've got to be fit and we've got to be thinking, because as soon as you're tired, that your cognitive decision-making starts to drop. So we have to be even fitter to stay consistent from the first whistle to the last. So I think the general impression is that referees have a normal day job Monday to Friday, and then they pick up the whistle on the Saturday, have a little run around, and, you know, we go back to our families on the weekend. And it's drastically different. Like, I'm very fortunate to be professionally contracted. We have a training program. I literally got my new one starting yesterday for the next 4 weeks, 5 weeks. And it's intense. It's at the moment, it's 2 sessions a day.
Sure.
So either a field session or a watt bike session. And then I'm in the gym. And it's pretty much like that every day. I think on a Wednesday, it's a bit more of a recovery day, but then I'm probably on the bike or, just staying active in other ways, maybe a little trail run with my dog or something like that. I really do enjoy the fitness side of it, but it's certainly a very tough push because I'm reffing the men's games. Obviously, I'm expected to reach the men's standards. So sure. Luckily, I have a really good team around me here in Cape Town. We had a great session this morning. Started at 6 a.m., still in the dark, and just really good vibes, good energy. And it's nice to race against the men because then you just push yourself that much harder. It's full on. I'm probably fitter now as a referee than I ever was as a player. Coach.
In your face, players.
I want to quickly touch onto that because, I mean, the selection process, I mean, for being a referee, there's not a woman's selection process and men's, right? Is it all the same?
Yeah, we all treated the same. So if I ref a Currie Cup game, a URC game, we're seen as referees, which I much prefer that approach. We have a very real online review system that's very transparent, very open, very honest. So we probably are our own harshest critics. Like if I watch it back and you cut your timeline and the different clips, you're like, oh, I could have done this better. Or, hey, actually, I got this one wrong. You know, it is what it is. And it breaks down every scrum, every line out, every maul, every tackle, every kick, you know, things like that. And it's just thoroughly reviewed by a performance reviewer every week. There isn't a single game that I do that isn't reviewed. So it becomes very objective. And I think there's so much more to it than what a lot of people think. I think we put our whistle down or put it back in our bag and go on with our normal lives. But actually, you know, it's a very intense review process that I normally start on a Saturday night, Sunday, just so I can, you know, clear my mind. You know, we have our review meetings. We talk about it. We share clips with each other. You know, what would you have done here? Okay, we'll look at the game situation. Look at the time. Would you make a bit different decision? Because you're in a different part of the field. You know, there's so much more to it.
Wow. Hier is my bitter in sy gegeven. Nou net hierna gaan ons lekker verder met Amy Barrett en ongesels.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika.
Jo, Amy Barretron by ons vanmôre, vroue skeieregter en natuurlik 'n merkwaardige vrou so op Vroue Maand. En Amy, so my next question would be, what team has been the best team to ref ever, and why would you say the Blue Bulls?
Would I say, believe it or not, Ruben only thinks there's one right answer. Please ignore him.
That's always a wonderful question as a referee. You know, when you get onto the field, it's the blue jersey versus the red jersey and all these wonderful things. I'm very much supporter of the Springboks when it comes to this World Cup, and I hope we do very well. But yeah, I can't say. I think, you know, I if I can change it a little bit to one of my favorite games, I reffed England-France at Twickenham in April. The Six Nations decider. Nearly 60,000 people there, and just both of the teams just put on this incredible display of rugby, and it was just amazing to see. And it was just amazing for so many other people to see how far the women's game has come and how exciting it can be. And there's, you know, so many families in the crowd, and we stayed on for like another hour, 2 hours after the game, just speaking to people, having photos, signing things. And I'm like, Are you sure you want to speak to me? I'm just a ref. And they're like, you're amazing. This is amazing. We loved the whole day. And yeah, you know, so to be a part of those has been very special.
Can I tell you, I can so relate in the sense of, I mean, I had the privilege of emceeing one of the biggest games, Vodacom Bulle teen die Stormers hier op Loftus-Versfeld, and that was about 55,000 people packed. And let me tell you, the stress that you experience walking out through that tunnel, and I mean, I've just got a few minutes that I need to do my thing and then I'm off that field and nobody can shout at me or anything like that. I mean, I cannot imagine the pressure that you must feel, especially like Twickenham, such a big, massive game, just before running out of that tunnel. How do you ground yourself and keep yourself calm before running out onto that field?
Yeah, I think it's definitely progress over time from more nervousness to just an absolute excitement. I think that if I can bottle that feeling of just walking through the tunnel with the players just out in front of you and the crowd getting louder and louder as you getting out of the tunnel, you know, standing on the field, hearing these players sing their national anthems, it's one of the best feelings in the world. And I think, yeah, I just wish I could sing my anthem more often, but I don't really get to ref our team. But it's a crazy couple of moments where it's just so much could happen in the next 80 minutes. But I'm so prepared for it. I'm so excited for it. I think the best thing I can do is smile, kind of high five or hug my team, my assistant referees, and just really enjoy the moment, because it is, you can very quickly not enjoy the moment because it is tough and it can become a long 80 minutes. You know, being a referee, we've mentioned a couple of the things before, it's a tough world to be in, but I find as soon as you enjoy it, you a lot more relaxed, you a lot more confident, and the decisions become easier. If you're stressed, if you're nervous, you're scared of making that mistake, you know, it just doesn't turn out as well as it could.
Wow. Who's your biggest role model?
If I talk about in the reffing world, I think it initially started, I was a big Craig Joubert fan.
Oh, wow.
Mark Lawrence. Yeah, kind of big fans. I think they're both Durban boys. And I'm fortunate enough, Mark is my coach now, which is, it's amazing.
Wow.
But I think I just enjoyed their styles. Like, they're interactive with players. They're comfortable. They're confident. So that was something that I kind of aim towards. I must mention Amy Parrott, similar name to mine, but she's all the way over in Australia. And I watched her ref in the 2014 Women's World Cup final in France. And I just started my refing journey and I wasn't quite sure where it was going to go. And I watched her ref. I was like, right, if she can do it, I can do it.
Wow.
And and it's amazing just to have joined the sevens panel, the 15th panel, and ref with her. I have always noticed the referees, but I think most people don't notice them until the refs make a mistake. And I'm fortunate enough to now know those referees in my own reffing career.
I've got to ask you, and I really truly hope this is something that you can say on air. What is the funniest thing a player has ever said to you on the field?
I've had a wide variety. I think the club rugby in Cape Town can be
I'm laughing because, like, you don't even have to say anything else.
It's wonderfully spicy.
So diplomatic. Wonderfully spicy.
Wonderfully spicy. I thought that was Durban.
Yeah, I'm going to say, oh, that's your Durban coming out now, Amy.
Yeah, I think, you know, within the same minute, I remember setting up a scrum and someone shouted from the side. It was something like, you know, something negative towards the referee. You know, I quickly blocked that, and it was followed with, "Amy, please marry me." Okay. So that's probably the most PG thing I can say on air.
We have had
some interesting things. I think a lot of the moments with the players, especially when I ref the schoolboys, also the junior provincial guys, and they're often like, yes, sir. Oh, mevrouw, tani. Sorry.
Shame, yeah.
So I can only imagine these Afrikaans schoolboys like, sorry, tani.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, nee, 20 voor 9, ons gaan net hier na, gaan ons nog lekker verder met Amy Gesels. Bly net waar jy.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika.
En is vrouwe maand en is vir ons een reuse voorreg. En ons is al so lekker man met Amy Barrett-Tron, natuurlijk baie bekende vrouwe skeieregter in Suid-Afrika. En ek moet vir jou sê, ek weet nie hoe jou tyd bestuur nie. Amy, let's get to that. Because I mean, I mentioned it earlier briefly. Like, you're a bio, but you're also a referee. And like you said earlier, it's not a case of you stand up on a Friday morning, go do your full-time job as a bio, then fatty flaky. Right na die stadion toe, and then you go and blow a couple of whistles, and then you have a drink afterwards, and dan gaat jy huis toe. It doesn't work like that. I mean, it's a full-time job. So how on earth do you manage everything? I suppose being a bio, still in the fitness industry, it complements each other, but I think it's still like tricky to balance everything, right?
Yeah, I do often feel there's not enough hours in the day or in the weeks, and I think as much as I
recording
love
recording in progress
for reffing, it does obviously take me out of my practice, but it's been quite a journey. I love the different paces of the two different jobs. I mean, obviously rugby's full on intensity, and then, you know, just the slower pace of one-on-one rehab with patients. And I'm fortunate they are so lovely and they're so supportive. And, you know, they come back, even if I've been away for 3-4 weeks, they come back and they get on with their exercise. So it's quite, I'm not at the practice every day. It's just impossible with the reffing workload. Mm. But I am there, I say, 3 days a week. And then, yeah, kind of reffing training in between. It's nice to have that biokinetics background to know how the body works, to know how to train. I definitely think it gives me an advantage. So we'll keep on keeping on. And yeah, once I'm done chasing players around the field, mm-hmm. I can settle mm-hmm. down into the practice and get that going.
I want to get to the amount of time that you spend studying the rule book, making sure that you've got everything down. How much time do you still? Because, I mean, the rules keeps on changing as well.
Yeah, because that's the interesting thing that I thought of now is it's all good and well. You study this rule book and then suddenly, okay, there's a scrum rule change, one of those 40 that you have to think of. Yeah. And then you have to kind of keep that front of mind.
Yeah, it's quite tough. Even being on the professional panel, we do a law test every year, with the different laws That's as good. They change, and it's different scenarios that they paint out for you and what would your decision be. Plus, every weekend, there's just a massive library of games that are happening and the clips we have access to where you have to, rugby's so dynamic. There's no two games that are exactly the same. So sometimes it can be a similar scenario, but you need a completely different decision because of the nature of the teams, the time, where you are on the field and things like that. So I like to challenge myself quite a lot. We have this online system where you can watch almost any game in the world.
Oh, wow.
And, I'll play through the game and either put myself on the field and ref it my way, each penalty, each decision is coded, and I'll kind of block off that for, what the infringement is for and just watch the game like that. And once they blow the whistle, just pause it and be like, okay, it was the tackle not rolling, and then, play it through. So this is a nice way to challenge myself with that. And I think it's just so important to be on top of the game and to make sure that you give the teams what they want for that 80 minutes. And that's what I love about it. It's just the growth of it, the challenge of it. The way I was reffing last year is completely different to this year because of how the things have changed. And between the women and the men's game, between the URC and the Currie Cup and EPCR, it's always different and you constantly have to adapt, which I love.
Just the public service announcement for those people out there that think that refs don't work hard. Can you see that she's checking herself as well? So get up off the couch, okay?
Okay. I have to ask this. On a scale from 0 to 10, 0 being minder lekker and number 10 being the lekkerste, to hand out a red card, where do you rate it? How lekker is it?
I'm lucky that I haven't given out too many.
Okay.
When you do, especially if it's like serious foul play, I've once had a hooker who was bound in the scrum. This is a club game, bound in the scrum. And while I was doing the crouch behind set, he kind of brought his arm underneath and he was, punching
the
opposing hooker. So that was quite satisfying to say that is absolutely not acceptable. Get off my field. I think now with there's so much talk around the yellow cards and the red cards, and it's quite a pressure moment in the game. And I think it's for the most part, I enjoy being that messenger of the law. If you've done something silly, then you need to take your sanction. Mm. And I really hope the mindset around them does change, where we think, now Amy's ruined the game and made it 15-14. No, your player ruined the game by doing that.
Wow.
And I simply passed on the message,
So lastly, just before we wrap up, and I think we can fill like 3 hours with you. There's so much that we didn't even
close to locking the studio door right
touch
now.
On, yeah. What is your biggest goal that you still feel that you want to reach in your career? What is that?
Yeah, that's the ultimate question, I think, at the moment. And, season to season, it changes. There's obviously a lot of factors that influence appointments and things like that. So I started my little family. I've got a 6-month-old daughter. So
congratulations.
Thank you. Your priorities shift a little bit, but I'm still as stubbornly determined as I have always been. And I would love to take on a men's tier one game, an international. This World Cup is a bit too soon, but maybe the 2027 World Cup would be in the pipeline. I'd love to ref, say, some playoff games in the Currie Cup, the URC, and just be there to any game, any time referee. And I think, that would be the the step by step. We do also have the Women's World Cup in 2025, and I'd love to do that final. It'll be at Twickenham, and it's just, yeah, it would just be the pinnacle of the women's game.
Amy, I just, like, from a woman's perspective, I just want to say thank you. Like, honestly, and I'm going to say this, thanks for being a badass. Honestly, because you really are an inspiration. I know it sounds a little bit like you hear it so much, probably so many times, but you've got a little girl now, and I really hope that she grows up to be as stubbornly determined as her mother, and thank you for showing us that you can do that.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate that. I think for me, as tough as it is so worth it at the end of the day. And I love hearing things like that because, you know, it is making a difference. And yeah, I really appreciate it.
I've got two more questions, last questions from my side. The first one is,
if it has something to do with the Blue Bulls, I'm booking.
Yeah, I'm going to ask now. are you open for any bribes towards the Blue Bulls? Just you can just WhatsApp me offline on that one. And then the last question is, Amy Baratron's message to women out there during Women's Month, what would Amy Baratron's message be?
The first and the strongest message is just live the dream. I had the dream once I saw the 95 World Cup, and I said rugby is for me. It was certainly tough along the way, but live that dream until it comes true. And I think hopefully my journey, like, the more people can see it, they can be it themselves. And I think the challenge, it actually doesn't matter, you know, what environment you're in. If I can make it in rugby, you can make it in anything. So, sure. I just really want to motivate everyone to just live that dream.
All right. And if ever you get the whistle against Owen Farrell, I'll also have a few pieces.
We'll give you four extra red cards to keep in your socks.
All right. Amy Baratron, it's a huge honor. And we honor you as a woman in South Africa. We are so proud of you. And you do an incredible job. And thank you so much for standing up and standing tall during Women's Month in a very much a male-dominated field where you just stand up and you just do your thing. And we really honor you for that. So well done.
Amazing. Thank you so much, team. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you both.
Awesome. Thanks. Have a good day, and we'll chat to you later. Cheers, eh? Bye.
Cheers, Amy.
Okay.
All right. Wow. Hoe amazing was dit nou nie geweest?
Ek gaan nou alles doen. Soos in alles.
Hè? Huh? Wat is sy incredible. Yes. Ek moet vir jou sê, sy praat so lekker, hè?
Immunity. Trotse borg van die Groot Breakfast. Met die regte kapsule staan kwale nie 'n kans nie.